toot, what's that wagon rolling into town? It's the podcast wagon. What you got for sale on the back of your wagon? What you got for sale, sir? Here, just some podcasts. Oh, what's the podcast on this week, Governor? It's on jealousy. I want one. Me too. I'm jealous.
Oh. Me too.
I'm jealous. I thought I was doing different voices. Yeah.
What a great start to the podcast. I feel like I'm fully
Couldn't be more
listening.
Immersed. You're loving it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving it.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone. It's the Debrief Podcast with me, Tessa.
And me, Stevie. And today we are doing a podcast on how to, I suppose, get over jealousy.
How to deal with jealousy.
That was a podcast idea that was suggested to us by Emma, who's on Twitter. She's tweeting it at I am Emma T.
Hello, Emma. Hello, Emma. And thank you for your lovely suggestion.
Yes, because we are going through suggestions. If you email us a suggestion, we will do it if we are allowed.
And yes, but also some of them are crazy. So don't think that
this is a rigorous process.
It's extremely rigorous.
And we'll do it for you now. Tessa, should we do a podcast on jealousy?
Yes, please.
There we go. That's the process. Or sometimes it doesn't go to plan. Tessa, can we do a podcast on how I like ice cream?
What's the point?
I just want to get sent some free ice cream.
No, then.
Right there. See, rigorous, always honesty.
The jealousy one really resonated.
Are you a jealous woman?
I don't think so.
Why did it resonate with you, Tessa?
I just thought it resonated as like, well, maybe I am a jealous woman.
I think everyone's jealous. That's
cruel,
what I'm saying.
A cruel, jealous woman.
No, I didn't know that. Now you've added cruel.
But like, jealous woman.
A cruel, old, haggard, jealous.
Ugly, jealous woman. Yes, Stevie, I am. Thank you for asking.
I think everyone has a propensity to be jealous or envious. Otherwise, just like every negative emotion, we all have a tendency towards it. Otherwise, we'd just be like, you can't see, but like this.
Imagine like a mushroom had a face.
So when I say, are you a jealous woman? You're not only. You probably just have maybe tendencies.
That was my only. Yeah, my only quality. Jealous woman. I guess so, definitely.
Before I ask you about what adult thing you're doing, just so it doesn't surprise you like it did last week, I have a fact about how to distinguish the word jealousy from envy. Because I thought the only distinguishing factor was envy's like, all right, a good one, and jealousy's evil. That's what I thought it was. She laughs, but has she thought about it? No. Does she have the answer?
I think envy was.
I thought it was a hat.
Oh, yeah, I thought they were the same word. I thought they were just like... I wasn't laughing.
No,
I was
know.
At you. I was just...
No, I know.
You're very funny.
Thank you.
Good save. I thought they were just the same word.
Yes, I understand. As do most people. But I have a lot of time on my hands, so I looked it up.
Let's learn more about the linguistics. Yes, please.
Yes. So jealousy distinguishes from envy because jealousy always involves a third party. So if you are trying to get a better job than someone else to impress your boss or trying to do something, that doesn't make any sense. If you're trying to do something at work, better than someone else to impress your boss, that's jealousy. If you are two sisters and you are rivaling for your parents' affections, that is jealousy. If you are in like a love triangle and there's some sort of you want something, that's jealousy because there's a third person involved.
Wow.
Envy is literally just is, I would like a thing that person has. So if someone has got like a really expensive bag and you're like, oh, I want to be expensive and have an expensive bag, that's envy.
Okay, so more letters, more people involved.
Exactly, that's a good way of
so jealousy, more people involved. In which case, I'd like to retract because I am not a particularly jealous person.
No, I was thinking that. I don't think I've ever been like rivaling for someone's someone else. It's always
I
want to be an expensive person.
Younger sister. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Amy.
Obviously a lot of love there.
Hi. Are you all right?
What do you want?
Amy's
an absolute legend.
She's absolutely great. I just know she doesn't listen.
No.
So sort of pointless.
What a bitch.
Exactly. Stupid girl, not listening. But I do have a sister and I definitely, I don't know if it was jealousy so much, but definitely things that were born of jealousy.
Yeah.
For sure.
So you just contradicted yourself. You said, well, I'm not a jealous person, but I do have a sister. And it was born out of jealousy, like, for sure.
I'm trying to articulate.
Yes.
I don't remember ever being jealous of anything she was getting, but I imagine lots of our like bickering and arguing when we were younger was born of jealousy. So I can't remember an action of being like, oh, Amy got this and I was jealous of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I imagine just like, it wasn't I wanted anything in particular. I just wanted all the love.
Again, you have contradicted yourself. So that is jealousy.
it's not like Amy had the love and I wanted it.
No, of
it's
course.
It's just I wanted it all.
But you want to make sure that you solidified that love and that you got everything.
Okay, so in which case,
I think you're a jealous woman. A horrible person.
A horrible girl.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
No, that's fine. Thankfully, the podcast covers both. and before we start...
We delve on in. Already I feel ill-equipped to unpack this level
same.
Of emotion.
I've got some bullet points. We'll see what happens. We've done some Googling. What adult thing have you done this week, Tessa?
Yeah, mine's an absolute cracker.
Great, please, continue.
I started doing squats while I wait for the microwave.
That is good, actually.
Because it's only a few minutes.
Yeah, of course.
The timer's on.
And it's still quite a lot of squats, so you must feel the burn.
Not as much as it's burning in the microwave.
Right. Very good.
Thank you.
Doesn't make too much sense, but very good.
No, they don't burn in there.
I'm
very scared of the microwave.
No, me too.
Once I put a cup of milk in there when I was babysitting for 12 minutes.
Oh, it exploded. Dear. Yes. I put a jacket potato in for an hour.
Did you?
Yeah, it took 20 minutes to realise that was a mistake. And it was like this shriveled, popping, on fire mess.
Guys, be safe with your microwave. Anyway, I've started doing squats while I wait for...
Tessa's doing a sort of action that is definitely not squats. I have a feeling she's jumping up and down. That's what she thinks squats are. I actually learned how to do a proper squat.
Yes. Go on then.
No, do you want to do a squat? And I'll tell you if you're doing it. Okay, and squat. Yes. It's all about you do it until you feel a real tension in your butt.
Guys, I did three and I'm exhausted.
And she did them correctly as well.
Yes. But that looking at the ceiling is a good tip.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Top tip.
What's yours, please?
My thing. I don't know if anyone listening will have had one of these. I recently had a cervical smear. Anyone listening will have heard about this in the summer months. And it came back abnormal. So don't panic if you do get an abnormal smear. That's actually a very good point because I didn't panic, but I was like, oh. But when you do have an abnormal cervical smear, you will have to have a colposcopy, which sounds terrifying. So obviously when they were like, please come in for your colposcopy, I was like, oh God. And the first thing I normally do with these things is Google. So I didn't. I just was like, I'm not going to Google. I'm just going to go in.
Be surprised.
Sort of like when I go and see a film now, I don't read the reviews beforehand because I want to just go and experience it like the film intended.
Go and
experience your colposcopy like your colposcopy intended.
As God intended.
And so I went to the lovely Whittington Hospital in Highgate. It was thank you very much to those ladies. And it was absolutely fine. Like, it didn't hurt. It just felt very odd. It's one of those things. It's basically that they put a little camera up your little lady. You can look in real time when it's happening, or like me, you can choose not to. And then they like look around and take some photos, and then they'll then decide what the next step is. And the next step could be, again, a range of things, but a colposcopy is absolutely fine. And then afterwards, out of interest, I Googled it to see what I would have seen if I'd Googled it beforehand. And there are loads of people being like, oh God, it's like, and I would have been terrified. And I cannot stress, if you fully relax and don't tense up, but you just fully relax, it's like spending a long time putting a tampon in, but another woman's doing it. And then you see pictures of it afterwards. You know, we've all done that.
I don't mind hearing it. I just think, you know, we also have a number of male listeners. And
okay, well, I can talk about how they put a camera up my penis.
No. Everyone not to be, you know, just not to be freaking out.
If your girlfriend or a female friend is having a colposcopy, you can now say, oh, I listened to a podcast, apparently it's fine. That'll be helpful.
Yeah, they'll love that.
Really?
Don't you think if a man was like, don't worry about your colposcopy.
If they said, don't worry about your colposcopy, like, stop being a hysterical woman, sure. But if they were like, oh, I heard about it on a podcast and a woman
stuff.
Said.
That's good stuff.
Don't
because
panic.
The abnormal thing.
It's not necessarily bad, but
that comes up for a lot of people.
Oh.
And actually, it's only when like a couple of your friends have had an abnormal one that you start to be like, oh, I guess abnormal is actually quite a regular thing to come back as.
Yeah.
But getting that letter that says abnormal on it in massive letters.
In massive letters as well. It's like the letter is in like size 12 font and the word abnormal is in 73.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. It's 8 different pieces of paper with the word abnormal written across it, one letter per paper. And you string it up like bunting in your kitchen.
The
so
worst
everyone
bunting.
Knows. The worst bunting.
Yeah.
And you start to freak out. But don't let yourself panic
it's
about
all
that.
Okay.
Otherwise you're just immediately like, well, my vagina's going to drop off.
Yeah, of course. That's everyone's first reaction.
That's my immediate thought.
Well, that's that gone.
That's that done.
How will I cope without that piece of equipment? Okay.
I've been a real mess without mine.
oh, I'd be in such a state if I didn't have a vagina.
Such a pickle if a vagina dropped off. Oh, bloody hell.
How would I cope?
Oh, right. Come on.
Jealousy. Oh, I'm jealous that your vagina hasn't dropped off. There we go. Jealousy.
I think you're envious, actually, because you're not fighting for someone else's affection.
That is very true. But what I didn't mention was an old wizard in the corner.
There's no one else here.
Who's watching everything. Tessa, do you have any opening thoughts on jealousy?
I've been reading something called Conquer Your Critical Inner Voice by Dr. Lisa Firestone.
What a name!
I know. She should have done something else, quite frankly.
I'm Miss Firestone.
Yeah, she needed to abandon ship and her doctorate and go and fight crime.
Oh, yeah. Or should I go in a shop called
Lisa
Firestone?
What are you thinking? Or a shop, crime or a shop, Lisa. Those are
your options. Grills.
Not a doctorate in psychology. Anyway, the jealousy is all to do with low self-esteem. It's all to do with, as in
ding, 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 ding. As in that's the low self-esteem ding.
I know what it is.
Sorry.
Boo.
Oh, now mine's got worse.
As in many things, it's less to do with that person getting that thing that you want or that having that bag or that person's love. And as so oft, it's to do with your own self-esteem, and you are your own worst enemy.
I know situations I've been in where I've been like, oh wow, I'm experiencing envy, and it's been that calm, guys. Mm-hmm. And I've dealt with it by speaking to the person directly or however I've dealt with it. But then I know people who are close to me who've had that exact same thing happen, and they don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. Like, they're fine. And it's because they're in a place in their career or life or relationship or anything where they are secure in their position. So they're like, okay, that's happened. That's okay, because I'll get that at another point.
Yes.
As Baz Luhrmann says, sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long.
And in the end?
It's only with yourself. Dance like a funky chicken is literally just the beacon that's coming from inside the person, whether it's, you know, a strong beacon or a beacon of weakness.
Yeah, and also to time, and it's all relative.
Yeah,
like if actually
confidence.
Somebody, and confidence, and like actually if like someone came up to you and said, like a 17-year-old came up and said, like, I actually got an A star in my French.
17-year-old me would be so jealous.
But
20-year-old me, fine.
20-year-old me, yeah.
Fine. Because it's all about where you're... That's why people who are older often, not all the time, but sometimes will have a sort of... I don't mean melancholy. I mean mellow quality
melon.
To them.
Melon.
And they have lots of melons.
Mellow, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because they're not sparked up by those things anymore, because they've experienced it and they know the race is long and in the end it's only with yourself.
Exactly. And then they know that things come in waves and that you'll have things that people will be jealous of.
Of course.
And which you definitely have got. Even though you might be sitting there listening wearing a Hessian sack. And
I mean, if you're wearing a Hessian sack, that just sounds so lovely, doesn't it?
Hessian beautiful. Even sack. We're already jealous.
I'm jealous of a Hessian sack.
And you haven't got a job or a house or any stability, or you feel like no one would be jealous of me.
Yeah.
Then I promise you, you've got something.
You've probably got great hair.
Great hair, stuff you haven't even
just
thought.
Like, you're just like probably a really fabulous fun
teeth,
girl.
Good eyes.
Or just non-appearance based things. You're just like a great laugh. Good at that.
Really good at hurdles.
You can draw a nice picture. You write good cards on birthdays.
You write good cards.
Yeah.
You choose great presents. Ooh. You've got an excellent taste in crisps.
You're pointing at me, and I don't eat crisps, but I feel like I have now. Thank you.
Always choose a good one.
You always choose the
anyway,
right
so
ones.
People are jealous of you, and even if you think, not me, I promise you.
They are, yeah.
There's
and also,
there.
It doesn't go, like, it goes away in terms of it mellows, but there will always be somebody that gets the thing or has the thing or does the thing that you go, oh, I would quite fancy that. And whether you are fired up and really upset by it, and however you like react emotionally to it, later down the line, you may react slightly less emotionally, but it will always, you'll always be like, oh, that person got that. Like, we are never, you're never going to be completely on an even playing field with everyone on the planet. And you're also never going to be the best.
Even Bill
at
Gates
anything.
Is jealous of like other people's hair, I imagine, because his is quite thinning.
But he's that's one way of looking at it. I'm trying to think of the person that I'm like, who would put, like, who's the person? And it's always Beyonce. But I'm sure she gets anxious about other people's albums dropping at the same time. She's probably looking at Taylor Swift being like, well, she got that amount of like YouTube. I've got to get that. Look, she's done, like, if someone else is like a visual album.
Well, crucially, what's the thing that I refuse to believe that happened to Beyonce, you know?
She got cheesed on.
Yeah.
You refuse to believe... Yeah, Tessa refuses to believe it, even though she did a full visual album about it, and then the person who cheated on her did a full visual album in response saying that he did. And it's completely understandable because I don't understand a world in which someone cheats on Beyonce. I don't understand it. But it shows that
it's
we're
really
all
divided
human.
The camp over here. But I just.
It's divided the camp, but it hasn't because I'm fully with you. But I've just accepted it because I've got like a rotten soul and believe that
believe
the humans
it.
Are just bad.
Imagine that when you try and tell things to your grandma and your grandma's like, no. And you're like, yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's what it's like with me. Anyway, so I'm. Look how she must be feeling. Peak jealousy.
Yes.
You know, imagine how she must have felt that like there was another woman involved. And then Beyoncé is literally at home in her enormous mansion with her thousands of Grammys.
Having written loads of songs about like, leave him, like to the left, empowering
Such
songs.
Empowering
and
songs.
And then being like, oh, I'm being cheated on.
I'm being cheated on. And then lying at home on the face down on the floor being like, what did she have that I didn't have? And she's literally Beyoncé.
And she's got everything. But that's the point. We don't all have everything.
And
like,
that
no one
is
has
the
everything.
Point. That is why he didn't do it.
Sorry, yes, he didn't do it. So what a pointless example from me there.
And so I've written here at the top of my list, crucially, you want that.
I'll just quote a wise man, Tessa. She said, if you look at someone or someone tells you that they've done something and you kind of go a bit like, ooh, that's because you've either eaten something dodgy or you want that thing. And that's like a good indicator that
Absolutely.
You should do it.
If you recall, Stevie said a very clever thing that was about how she didn't lie awake at night thinking about how much she wanted to be a Formula One driver.
Because I don't.
Because you don't.
I can't
and
drive.
So which leads me seamlessly to what Dr. Daniel Siegel says, that when you feel those feelings of jealousy, you have to consider what's being stirred up. And you use the acronym SIFT, S-I-F-T. You're sifting through sensations, images, feelings, and thoughts. And so if, you know, this jealous feeling has happened and you have to sort of sit back and be like, let me just take stock of this. Where has this come from?
Yeah.
Is it the current scenario a trigger of something old? Is this like, oh, I'm being treated like this?
Is
this making me remember a thing about how I was treated as a kid? Is it that feeling of being left out in the playground? Is it a long-held negative self-perception that's just being reinforced when you do something? And so quite often it's not just like, oh, that woman has a good bag, or that man has a better... got the promotion and I didn't, or that person got a book deal, or that Janie's
girl's got a bigger hat than me.
She's got a massive hat. Mm. Or bloody Janie's engaged again. Whatever.
Constantly engaged.
Are those individual things reinforcing your own personal negative self-perception, which are like, no one's ever going to marry me. I'm never going to get a job. I'll never have a big hat. Like,
yeah, my hats are always too small.
Are they just like feeding your own personal narrative that you've invented, that is, this is the person I am, and these things all just prove that.
God.
Duh, bloody
hell. That's really good. And that is, I can imagine, what the root of a lot of jealousy and envy
absolutely.
Is. You can really like see that because quite a lot of things, yeah, you're like, I mean, yeah, I have nothing to say because it's just like,
she moved
yeah.
to tears.
I'm crying out of all of my face.
Well, that's the end of that then.
No, I was going to say, I was going to add to that, being like, because I've read that a lot of evolutionary psychologists think that we developed jealousy and envy as humans. They always look at like what our emotions are doing for us and why we have them, because there's always a reason we do everything. They see it as an emotion that shouldn't be suppressed, but heeded, so like listened to, like you're saying. And I just thought it was interesting as like a sidebar, our behaviours are there to guide us. And your feelings, I think the initial feeling when I get jealousy or envy, I immediately go, oh God, I'm a horrible person. This is horrible. Like, why am I doing this? And actually, that should not be your first port of call, because your body, your brain is literally telling you something. And so I read that the point of fear is so that you take action and protect yourself from being eaten, or to take yourself out of like a horrible situation that could harm you. When you're happy, you get happy because your brain is trying to motivate you to pursue things, because you'll be more likely to like try stuff out and like be creative about your own life if you're happy. But if you get sad, the purpose of that is to kind of force you to withdraw and take stock and look at why you're sad. So you will automatically be like looking at other parts of your life. And envy and jealousy is there because there is something in your life that you are lacking, or you need to look at and deal with in your past. And I think that basically backs that up completely, doesn't it? I love that, turning something negative into something positive.
that immediate thought of I'm not a good person, because that has been, because it's literally one of the seven deadly sins. Like it's reinforces like this is a horrible trait of yours to be a jealous person or to be an envious person. Whereas really, like, which is, I guess, those sins, those the seven deadly sins and like all that sort of moral guilt and like this is a sort of bad person.
Because gluttony, so, like, so if you ever have like a big cake, then you're really sad.
Eating and enjoying something, and pride is one of them.
Yeah.
And like, so like, not, I mean, it's not specifically just proud of your work. It's like pride as in like takes yourself too seriously. But they are just ultimate like human qualities that stem from like an early sort of like, imagine just like living that awful like puritanical time when everyone was like
just trying to keep you in check and keep the church in power.
Exactly.
That's
so
all
you're like all your things that make you human and interesting and like that you, you know,
that you need
that you
to
need
express,
because greed is there because your body was being like, well, have another snack please, or come
I'm
on,
hungry,
I'm
hungry might, there may not be some snacks
and so
for a
lust
time.
Is, you know, have sex with something otherwise humans are all gonna die, you know, like those are all just human animal instincts. And then we had this like awful like religious arrival of things being like, nope, suppress them all, absolutely not. And so that is just still sat there as like, oh, I must be a bad person. No. As long as you don't do anything
bad about
it. Well, that's
the other thing that I was going to ask as well.
The thought itself is not bad.
Like, because I think the way people deal with jealousy is interesting. And I think there are right ways and wrong ways to deal with it. But there are also, you can't control your initial reaction. So like, I know people that when they're jealous, they get like, they basically are angry and like hate the person. Or like, will find ways to do the other person down. Just basically, it's not a very nice reaction. Mm-hmm. It sounds like I'm talking about myself there, but I'm not. My reaction is to get upset at the fact that I'm envious, and then to immediately be like, I'm shit, that's why I haven't got the thing. But I don't know. But the first thing is, it's not, you can't control how you feel. Like, I will never be angry at someone when I'm jealous of them. And the person or the people that I know who are angry will never be upset when they first experience jealousy. They will always be angry. But it's about like how you then immediately react to it. Like, the first thing is automatic, but the second thing isn't. Second stage, you have full control over how you then approach this jealousy.
Yes.
If your response is very negative, let's say someone younger than you who is less experienced got promoted at work, and your interaction is to go into the loo and just be like, oh, just like text someone and be like, I can't believe it. So that's fine. But then some people may, for example, literally like start some sort of campaign to destroy the other person.
Certainly.
Or just start like bitching about them loads, or just won't be able to kind of get rid of that feeling of wanting to exact revenge.
Yeah.
And you can completely control that. That's where the whole perspective thing kicks in of, okay, sit down. You've been provided with information here. Someone got a job over you. What does this mean? Does this mean that you're in a company that's incredibly unfair and ageist, in which case it's telling you to move companies? Is this a situation where you actually, when you're really honest with yourself, you've done something that has affected you getting that job? It's not just blind hatred and blind, because then you are not only like formulating a plan, you're kind of moving forwards rather than staying in the same place. And also it's positive. It's positive for yourself. It's positive for everyone around you, because you're not being horrible about someone who's, and it's not their fault. And often jealousy does lead to revenge, and then revenge just leads to, it becomes then a really horrible canker inside you.
Yes.
I've seen it happen with people who I've been very close to, but it doesn't have to go that far.
No.
And I think that's the very important thing. Also, crucially, if you just cry and think it's your own fault, then I refer back to your excellent tip. Work on your self-esteem, mate. You know what I mean? Like, come on. It's not
mate.
About you all the time.
Work on that.
But that's just we should do a podcast on like how to have good self-esteem, but I just don't think we'd be able to fully solve anything, because I think everyone has got some sort of self-esteem problem.
Yeah, and then the answer is just me going, just have more.
Yeah, so yeah, apart from Tessa, who...
Have some more, mate, for God's sake.
Have some of mine, please. I've got too much.
I'll send it to you in a bottle. I think jealousy is probably in three stages, or like there are three elements to it. So like number one is like the things that are presented to you for you to be jealous about, of which some of them are just going to happen to you, and there's nothing you can do about them. Like somebody will, you will just pass women in the street with bigger hats. But there are also things that you don't need to seek out. So like,
interesting.
Don't go on your Facebook and, you know, see it through another engagement photo or someone, because Facebook is generally a very much a brag environment.
Yeah.
And so if you are sort of feeling quite low or whatever, just don't go on there. Avoid, like, you know it's going to hurt you, so don't be... You can protect yourself from lots of things on there.
I think it's like a three-strike rule. If you've seen something, it's made you feel bad about your life. Not, like, they've not done anything wrong. It's just it's made you feel bad. And it's happened three times, and I think you can unfollow them. They will never know
they
you.
They won't know
you
unfollow them.
They don't unfriend them.
Like, oh, I'm not gonna, yeah, exactly. Exactly that. We all worry about unfriending, but just sneaky unfollow.
Make your timeline something.
Get your timeline, exactly. And also, like, Twitter... I mean, don't go on that either, because, like, the world's on fire.
That's,
but
that's
people
what I mean,
are not...
Like,
but there is not a space for jealousy there so much, because it's a lot of people being like, guys,
shouting about Trump.
Shouting about Trump. But if they're talking about their personal life, they are saying, like, guys, I pooed myself at work. Like, you know, it's all very much
that.
It's a sharing platform of, like, you'll never guess what I've done now. Like, oh God. So you don't have, you rarely come away from Twitter feeling jealous. You come away very sad about the state of the world, but not
Instagram's,
you know,
the worst.
So get yourself, follow, like, @beige cardigan.
Beige Cardigan's really good.
Very funny. Basic Bitch Foundation. Like, there's just a lot of, like, very funny stuff.
It's the equivalent of watching, like, a film or watching a TV show, because you're consuming something just on the basis of its own creativity, rather than you're consuming something on the basis of comparison, direct comparison to yourself. If you look at a dog, you're not like, that dog is so furry, why am I so bald? Like, you're not like that.
Look at his bow tie.
I wish I could wear a bow tie and look as cute. So that's really, really a helpful thing. Too. You know, I feel bad after going on Instagram.
Absolutely.
After ages, I didn't know what it was. I was like, I feel sad. I was like, oh my God.
You can curate yourself on Instagram.
Yeah.
That is just a lovely, happy place for you to look at happy things. Yeah. It does not have to be a place for you to look at your friends. And we live in a very unique environment. So maybe, like, 20 years ago, you would hear about people that you went to school with, or your relatives or your cousins, or people that you sort of knew. You know, you would hear for that from your parents, or from the newspaper maybe, or from, you know, I guess your cousins put their information in the local newspaper. I don't
Absolutely.
Know. My point here
I know what
is that at. Nowadays, people that you don't even remember from school are literally in your face in the morning, in your bed sometimes. Those people are in your bed telling you about
their boyfriend
or their children or their job or whatever. It is just, it's everywhere, because that is what everyone is using to boost their own, you know, low morale and low self-esteem, is to, like, boost themselves up on Facebook and show, you know, say, like, oh, this good thing happened to me today.
Yeah.
And that is the thing about, number one, you cannot stop it happening to you, but you can stop seeking it out.
Big time.
When it happens, when you've seen the picture or you've seen the big hat, you've got 5 minutes, 5 minute window in which you're not sort of really in control of how you feel. So don't beat yourself up.
Oh, so that's first stage thing. Okay, cool.
That's not second stage, number two. First one is, like, it's going to happen and it sometimes will happen to you.
Right.
Don't seek it out.
No.
Number two. 5 minutes. Don't beat yourself up being like, oh, what a horrible person I am, having this jealous feeling. Be like, yeah, cool, I'm having it.
Yeah.
And embrace it and
feel sad, have a cry.
Just what exactly? Have a cry, go to the toilets, punch the wall.
Have a cry, go to the toilets. Sounds like, have a cry, have a wee.
Yeah. You know, all your classics, get them out. Get all the water out of your body in any way you can.
Of course.
Sweat it out. Be cross, go for a lie down, walk it off.
Yeah.
You know, I've definitely had things where I'm like, excuse me, I have to go outside now.
Yeah.
I'm so cross.
Yeah.
You know, don't just let those emotions happen. Do not beat yourself up, and certainly don't be cross at yourself, because you're a naughty girl for having jealous feelings. And
of
then
course.
Number three is the bit where you are now in control. After your 5 minutes is up, everything you do after that point, you are in control of.
Good. Yeah.
So take some ownership, take some stock, and be like, I don't have to be horrible to this person now.
Yes.
I don't have to be.
Notice
oh my
that-
goodness. Once, remember when Fergus, if you're listening, I don't think he does, told us, our friend Fergus, was in Game of Thrones.
He was.
And
Tessa has spent the last 5 years just being like, asking everyone that we've ever met in any sort of industry how likely it is they can get her into Game of Thrones.
And the answer is not.
None.
It's none,
mate. Non-likely.
Not. I can't stress this enough. Non-likely.
And then this happened to our friend.
And my good friend as well.
I was almost frightened. I was like, I was terrified for you to find this information out, because I was just like, the pain.
I remember just like walking through and everyone was sort of laughing, and then I was like, oh, fuck it, blah, blah, blah. And then someone was like, go on, tell her. And then he looked at me so sheepishly and said, I've been casting Game of Thrones. And I couldn't control myself.
Of course, yeah.
And like, honestly, I had to take
You look like one of those inflatable, long, stretchy garage men outside of garages. For a bit.
Yeah, I was. My whole body was just like absolutely out of my control, and I had to go outside, and I honestly, I ran round the building. Like, I couldn't believe it. Not that I begrudge him, because he's literally a man with a beard.
Yeah.
It's not like I wanted to be the man with the beard, like, or that I begrudged him having it or any of those things. It was like a worse thing.
If someone has something that you really wanted.
Yeah. I sort of couldn't control myself. Anyway, and then after about 5 minutes, I came in and said, I'm very proud of you and I'm very sorry for what just happened there. Because it does like pass.
But that's the crucial thing as well, that you said that, because I think obviously that's a very extreme version. You became a garage man, you went outside and then you came back in and said, oh, I'm very proud of you. And I'm sorry about what happened there. But often that is as simple as it is. It's just, it appears more complicated. Like if you're jealous of some of your friend, you often will feel like really bad and it gets all messy.
Because
and then
also crucially, people had presented the information to me offering me the space
yes.
to be able like
now,
that.
Now
off she goes. Yeah. Like, you know, whereas if it had just been said at the dinner table, like, and been like, oh, you know, Frances in Game of Thrones. And I would have been like, it's lovely. Why aren't you more happy? And I'd be like, no, I am. You know, I would like snap the table in half or something. I think it's that thing of people being like, why are you making a fuss? What's wrong? Yes. Do you want that? Like, you know, when you can't. But people fully had just given
they'd
me
allowed that
space to run.
But it's always good
bit.
to say to the person that you're jealous of, or you're envious of, or you've acted in a way, maybe even a little bit quiet with them, maybe you've like snapped once or twice or whatever, to then be like, I was a little bit jealous about that, and I'm really sorry, because I don't think anyone is ever going to be like, all right, you dick.
No, because it isn't personal.
No, so, like, it's a compliment. You have something that someone really, really wanted. And also you appear like Gandhi if you're like, sorry, I was jealous, but I just wanted to let you know, and like, it doesn't affect our friendship. Like, what a great, mature adult thing to do.
And also to openly say, like, I'm sorry, I was so jealous.
Yeah, and that's like the nicest way of doing it rather than making up some sort of weird excuse. Like, sorry, my mouth jammed shut and I couldn't stop convulsing and I couldn't speak to you because I'm mute now. Like, no, just say that you were jealous.
Because then when someone was like, is it because you're jealous? You're like,
no! You're jealous!
Like, shut up! No. Like, it's such a horrible defensive
like a
thing
child.
To be. So I think just to own that and be like,
look how mature, and then just revel in how mature you are.
Roll around in the floor for a bit because you're thrilled with yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway, this podcast is dedicated to Fergus, and I'm sorry about that time I literally ran away.
And I really enjoyed him on Game of Thrones.
You absolutely smashed it.
Great tip.
Thank you.
Great, like, acknowledgement of the stages, because I think knowledge is power. I feel like I'm the first person to ever have said that.
I think you are. Knowledge is power. So, like, yeah, what do we know?
It's your brain
now?
Giving you information. And so that will help you move through these stages, 5 minutes, and you can do whatever you like. And then you take stock, and then you listen to your brain, and what your brain is telling you is something's not right here. And it's not just saying something's not right here because that person's a dick. It's saying something's not right here. You need to do something about this.
Yeah. And so if it's the like engagement one, if that is the thing that is spurring your jealousy, don't break them out. That's not helpful.
No, of course.
But be like, oh, okay, oh, that's always something I want. And sometimes you can just go and get it. And sometimes it's something you can't just actively go and get.
No.
And it's better to address where that feeling comes from in you.
Yeah, and how like, you can, whether you can go and get it or not, take steps to address, to make that feeling feel better and go away.
Because I think some of them are really practical and like, okay,
just go and engage, mate.
Yeah, like I can go and get that same thing, no bother, but sometimes you can't.
Yeah, of course. If it's a big hat, really easy.
Go and get
it. If it's engagement and you're single, quite difficult.
Because if you actively go and seek that out, why do I feel this level of emotion?
Maybe you have to work some stuff out, talk to some people, do something nice for yourself, concentrate on the fact that whatever you're jealous of isn't the be-all and end-all, maybe. Because obviously every plan is different, and because everything you're jealous of will need, and every brain who is jealous of that will need a different plan to help them. But
you will know.
I feel like I did a very good face then. I have a tip.
Please.
This is slightly preemptive. If you know, if you're up against someone else for something, or if you are like, you can see a distinct possibility, if something in the near future goes one way, you're gonna feel really, really jealous. There's a way of, basically, you visualize the absolute worst case scenario, i.e. the other person getting it. If you take the like engagement one, you're like, oh, if my younger sister gets engaged before me and I'm still single, I will be so jealous, I won't be able to cope. So then you have to regularly, and again, it's that thing where it's like, will you, but you should, regularly, really vividly visualize that happening and see yourself responding with real calm detachment. Because then when it actually happens, you will have visualized that so many times, it will obviously hurt because that now it's real, but you will have seen yourself reacting in a certain way. It won't feel as alien and it won't feel as you like, because I think a lot of people, when something awful happens, that they feel so jealous. Like you were saying, you had to go and like run outside. You just don't know what to do with yourself, and that will help you with that first kick to the face, essentially. A nice thing as well, do something positive for someone else at the next available opportunity, because that will help, especially if you're somebody that feels bad about feeling jealous. Because if you feel bad about feeling jealous, that can often hurt your self-esteem, because you will feel like, oh, I'm a jealous person, that's not nice. Whereas if you do something positive for someone else, then you can remind yourself that about how like easily, about how changeable emotions are, and how you're not one thing or the other thing, and neither is that other person. And also do something nice for yourself, like treat yourself, like buy yourself something nice, make yourself an amazing dinner, organize something with like friends, so you can just remind yourself that this isn't the end of the world. Unless the thing that you're jealous of is like, I don't know, the end of the world, like literally the world is ending. I don't know how that would link in. Your world is not going to end just because someone else got something that feels like everything. In 5 years time, you will look back and go, you know, at the very most, you'll go, God, that was a tough time. But you won't be feeling it in your gut anymore, which I think is the crucial thing.
Mm. What's he banging, mate?
I'm going, oh my God. So I hope that the next time something happens that makes you feel really jealous, you can maybe help yourself a little bit and control that jealousy in a more effective and positive way. Because I think, like we're saying, all emotions are positive, and even... actually, especially the negative ones. The negative ones are actually the most positive in terms of doing something with them. And they are literally your brain going, do something about it.
Don't, because I think the ones that are about people just very distant from you, or about, you know, you're jealous of Kim Kardashian, fine.
Aren't we all? A bit, yeah.
And that is something that you can address and work on and deal with. But I think when there are things that are happening to people very, very close to you, and to your very good friends or your friends at work, they're like, because inherently, lots of the things that we do, we become friends with the people that we work with, and we work with our friends, and all of our lives sort of wrapped up in other people's lives. Address it before it becomes something that
you can't come back from.
Yeah. You can't come back from.
Communication.
Exactly right.
That's why communication is so important. And that's obviously in the instance going like, I'm really jealous of that. Like, maybe not the best idea, but you can definitely. Like we were saying before, there's nobody who's going to be horrified at someone that comes up to them and just says, I'm sorry if that's acting a bit weird. I'm finding it difficult that you are going out with that person. I found it difficult. But I really hope that this doesn't affect us as people. And, you know, sometimes things do affect relationships, and that's also okay too. But if you can do everything you can to stop that happening, then you've done everything you can. And like, you know, you've done your absolute best.
Yeah.
I think that's the
main thing. My housemate, when she went out with her, you know, her new lover.
Oh, yes.
And he used to come around all the time. He's the one who said, once I looked like the pigeon lady from Mary Poppins.
Were you covered in pigeons?
No, I was like, had fingerless gloves on and a shawl. It wasn't a incorrect statement, but I didn't care for it. No. Anyway, he just came around. They were, you know, so into each other, and he came around all the time. And I remember once like making some like quite snide, obviously funny, but snide comment in the kitchen, and like sort of like, you know, just being like cross. And then, you know, neither of us really addressed it. And then a couple of days later, she was like, why are you so horrible to him? And then I was like, I'm not.
No, you should have it to him.
Right, you need to have it to him. And then we sort of unpacked it a bit, because I didn't dislike him. He, as an individual, very nice. But really, the root of it was, I'm super jealous that you, now when I come home, you two are here like on the sofa and you don't hang out with me anymore.
Yeah.
And then once you can sort of communicate that and address it, and saying it out loud to her was the first time I had sort of realised that.
Yeah.
In my head, I was just like, I don't like her boyfriend. And in my head, but it wasn't that at all, is that... I was jealous.
That's
very
common.
Once you can sort of say
that,
then she can be like, "Oh, I'm sorry," and I'm like, "No, I'm sorry too."
And it's a nice thing. It's not you. Just I think that's so much nicer. You wanting to spend more time with her than you hating her boyfriend. That's really difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
Whereas you being jealous is actually way easier for the other person to deal with it, because then they can be like, "Cool, in the future she'll spend more time with you. Like she'll you know, divvy up her time better." Rather than actually what would happen if you hadn't have said that is she would have just been like, well, Tessa doesn't like my boyfriend. Tessa probably doesn't like me anymore. And then you would have been a huge chasm between you.
A chasm would have formed. And I imagine that so many relationships do based on people lashing out.
The jealousy crevasse.
Mm.
That's what I'm going to call it.
The things that it's actually one step away from jealousy. It's a meanness that is born of jealousy, but you are, you know, you don't
it becomes
know
like
that.
Revenge, hatred, or like,
yeah,
like
you don't even know why you're doing it, and that people obviously respond with just the information they're given, which is, I don't like your boyfriend.
Yeah.
So why would anyone,
respond not kindly and fun to that?
Exactly.
I'm not going to invite you to anything.
No, exactly.
Let's invite the girl that hates him.
Yeah.
Over. No.
No, let's not. No. Anyway, so I hope that helps somewhat. I already feel better.
I feel less jealous of Tessa.
Yeah, I don't think it's about feeling less jealous. It's about being like, of course, I know you know.
Okay.
I know you know. You've done so well.
Oh, that's so passionate.
We went, no, it isn't.
No, it
isn't. Yeah, rather than it being like, oh, how can I feel less jealous? It's like, you can't.
No.
That's going to be there. How can you deal with it in a different way?
Yeah.
Or how can you understand it better? What can it do for you?
Okay, I can't wait to get jealous so I can try these tips.
I can't wait either. Yay!
Yay! Please do tweet us if you have any fun ideas. The podcasts of future times at Stevie M. The S is a 5 and the S isn't jealous about that.
Mine is at Tessa Coates. Just letters. No numbers here. No jealousy.
No jealousy. Only love and freedom. Please do email us as well if you have any, just some thoughts on your life and times or our life and times.
It's a secret because...
What's the secret?
We can't say who because she hasn't... So somebody wrote to us about the smoking podcast.
And said that it was really helpful.
And said it was really helpful, but she couldn't tell, she didn't have anyone else to tell because she lied to everyone else and said that she'd already given up smoking.
Yes, but she's given up.
But
so
she hasn't.
If you're listening, you know who you are.
And
well done! We're
so thrilled for you.
And I'm especially thrilled because I thought that would not resonate with anyone. So I'm so happy. Thank you so much for getting in touch. So yes, see, look, also, we're reading our emails now. So send an email to podcast@thedebrief.co.uk. And please do give us a rate and review on iTunes if you liked it. If you didn't, don't do that. And have a lovely week, and we will see you next week.
See you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.